All right, good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. From the NIV, it says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for a new week, and Lord, we just thank you for the work that you are doing here in our church and in our lives. Lord, we just want to come before you to worship you. Lord, would you teach us your ways, show us your path, and God, bless us as we seek your face. We thank you for this time of fellowship and communion with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in the first book of Psalm, in the first verse, it starts out with how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. We see a progression here, even in the very first verse, a progression of the potential of compromising into wickedness. In just one verse, we see this progression of how we can allow evil to develop in our lives. And there's this old fable where a bird meets a fisherman, and the fisherman has a can of worms, and so the bird is very interested in having a worm. And so the bird asks the fisherman, "Can I have some worms?" And the fisherman says, "Sure, but all I ask is for one of your feathers." And so the bird takes a moment to think about that, and he thinks of the cost-benefit analysis, and he thinks, "Wow, that's pretty good. That's not bad. I think that's a great deal." So he makes the trade, and he eats his worm, and he goes, flies off. And the next day he comes back, and he was hungry again, and so he comes back to the fisherman, and he asks again, "Can I have a worm?" And he weighed the inconvenience. Once again, the rate was just for one of his feathers. So he weighed the inconvenience of searching for food. He considered the urgency of his hunger. And so, you know, it seemed like the easiest and the best possible solution. And so he agreed and gave one of his feathers. After all, it's just one feather. What's the big deal? And so he did this day after day for a few days, and but after one of the days of making the trade, he had exchanged so many feathers that he couldn't fly. And at this point, the fisherman picked up this very nice, now fat, plump bird, and cooked him for dinner, and he lost his life that way. And spiritually speaking, it's just an example or illustration that how sin can ruin our lives, and we think it's just one feather. It seems like a good deal, good trade. The result I get from indulging in sin at that moment seems like a really good deal, and the consequences seem, you know, minimal to even none. And we make unwise decisions, and we don't believe or think that it'll affect us spiritually. And in fact, in most cases, we won't even see the effect of it. But slowly, and you know, when one rationalization leads to another rationalization, and before you know it, we've switched the road that we've wanted to travel on, and we are now on a road that we never intended to travel. And so that's why the psalmist here is saying that we need to resist even the slightest temptations to compromise our convictions. Blessed here, as you know, and also the Beatitudes is, you know, can mean happy or joy. As we know, blessed are the poor in spirit, happy are the poor in spirit. The psalmist is saying here, happy is the person who doesn't walk with the ungodly, doesn't stand with sinners. And so you see this progression of walking, standing, sitting. You know, as Christians, we don't necessarily just jump into sin. There's this progression that happens. If you remember when Abraham separated with Lot, and they stood on the mountain overlooking the land, Abraham says, "Lot, you choose which side you want. You know, if you go east, I'll go west. If you go west, I'll go east. And so Lot looked out and he saw how green it was to the west. And so he went that way. He didn't think or choose it based on what would be beneficial for him spiritually. He just chose that based on what he saw with his eyes. He just chose it from a physical point of view. And so the next thing you know, Lot, dwells in the cities of the plains and pitches tent even as far as Sodom, it says in Genesis 13. And he gets closer and closer to Sodom, closer and closer. And by Genesis 19, the Bible says that he is living in the midst of the immorality and the sin of that city. Right? And that's how it happens often. You look at teenagers and you look at... and even adults, and the teens, they begin to hang out with the wrong crowd, and they have the wrong friends, and they don't do anything wrong, they're just hanging out with them. They're not participating in anything with them, they're just with them, as the crowd is doing wrong things. And then, you know, after some time, they're walking with them, and they're not walking, you know, they're standing, and they're sitting, and they're doing the same ungodly things that they are. But the psalmist is saying, blessed is the man who avoids that kind of association. Solomon gives similar advice in Proverbs 4. He says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. So a different translation of verse 1 is, blessed is a man who is one who does not follow the counsel of the wicked or the advice of the wicked. Right? Especially in our world, we have a lot of advice and on the internet and just people, we have a lot of advice. Well, the first step is, blessed is a man who does not even follow the advice of wicked people, or just doesn't follow bad advice. And most of us, we can abstain or refrain from that. That's not that difficult. You know, we hear some advice that's ungodly or sinful, and we're like, oh, I'm not going to do that. But then the problem is, then the next step is you hang out with ungodly people or path of sinners. And this is different from Jesus hanging out with sinners. This is actually wanting to do what they do, or just hanging out with them. And then what happens is that we sit in the seat of scoffers. Maybe a more modern translation is, now that we participate in mocking God. And so this is sort of a progression where we hear bad advice, and we're like, okay, that's not too bad. We actually just hang around with bad company, and then now we're actually joining them in mocking God. And so the psalmist is saying, beware of that. Paul writes something familiar. Evil company corrupts good habits in 1 Corinthians 15. And so sort of to close this sort of concept, I want to talk about an Aesop fable about a donkey and his purchaser. And so a man wanted to buy a donkey, and it was agreed with its owner that he should try this animal out before he would purchase it. So he asked the owner, can I just take the donkey, just for a little bit, and just see if I want to, purchase it, test it out, things like that. He said, okay, you could do that. And so he took the donkey out of his current, group of donkeys, and he brought them to his sort of collection of donkeys. And immediately this donkey went and joined the donkey in his new group that was a donkey that ate a lot and was idle and didn't do much. And so after about 20 minutes, he brought the donkey back, and he says to the owner, sorry, I'm not interested. And the owner was shocked, like, how could you tell in 20 minutes that that you want this donkey or you don't want this donkey? And he says, well, I don't need to try him out. I already know that he's going to be just like the person, the donkey that he chooses in my flock. And he's going to be just the same. Because he chose the one that eats a lot and is idle. And so he realized, okay, this is not a donkey that I want as part of my group. And so the moral of that story is obvious is that the righteous person is careful in the companions that he or she chooses because we become like them. And so the Bible warns us as we walk through this life, as we are involved with different things in this world, that if we're not careful, it can lead us to destruction. It can lead us into compromise. It can lead us into compromise of our convictions. And now we are on a path that we did not choose from the beginning. And so I just want us to meditate on that this morning, as we could ask, have a time of worship. How about you? Are you compromising in some of the advice that you hear, and some of the beliefs that you hear, and some of the thoughts that you hear? Are you compromising in the sense that that you're hanging out with bad company, and hopefully that you don't reach a point where you're actually mocking our Lord? And so the admonishment or the encouragement this morning is to beware. Beware of your heart. Guard your heart closely. So let's bow our heads. May Christ be the one that is our everything, that is enough for us. May He guide us and lead us into paths of righteousness. May we experience the incredible delight. Psalm 1 continues in verse 2. The solution or the antidote is that we delight in the law of the Lord, and on his law we meditate day and night. So Lord, we just ask, Father, for your wisdom and your protection. God, we pray that your word would be in our hearts, that would guide us into righteousness. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of your word. And so, Father, we just want to follow you. Let's begin to pray for our community, and let's lift them up, and let's not just focus our prayers on ourselves, but let's lift up those who we have the ability to stand in the gap for and intercede, and especially for those who are suffering from something as serious as cancer. Let's join them, and let's join the saints in praying for them. So as you look on the screen, there's a list of those that are in our community that are suffering from cancer. And let's pray for healing over them right now. Let's pray for God to come and heal them now. Let's pray. Let's pray for the salvation of those in our community that needs to know Christ, but is also struggling with some serious complications and illnesses. Let's ask the Lord to open their eyes to see the beauty of Christ, and that He is our salvation. So let's lift them up now. Let's now pray for those who have other illnesses and sicknesses. Let's ask the Lord to provide grace and mercy and strength during this time. Peace over those that may be anxious and concerned and worried. So let's pray for them and also their family members. Let's pray for those looking for work, for employment, jobs. Let's ask the Lord during this, what could possibly be a potentially long process, ask the Lord to open doors quickly for them, as we've been praying for many of them for a while. Let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for our mission focus, and today let's lift up China and SP Beijing. They're experiencing incredible growth, and so let's praise God for that. Let's ask for even just even greater blessing over them and the leadership, Pastor Sam and Annie, and the core group there. Let's pray for Leanne, who's also doing very well, and she appreciates our prayers. So let's pray for them, the Chong family. Ask the Lord to give them direction for their next steps as they're coming off a sabbatical. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents, for the Basarabas, Edie Clark, who is serving with those who are in prisons and need to get back into society, and providing employment for people and speaking the gospel to them. Let's pray for the Chichihar kids who were once orphans and now they've been adopted into a family. And so let's lift them up in prayer. And let's pray for the churches in China. Let's ask the Lord to really continue to move full force in China for the gospel and for Christ. And so let's lift up China right now. Let's pray for our staff, and let's pray for protection over any spiritual attacks. Let's pray for health. Let's pray for families. We pray for unity and wisdom as they continue to serve. And so let's continue to lift up our staff here at SP. Let's pray for our worship sound media team and ask the Lord to equip them and train them and use them in the midst of our services. So let's lift up that team right now. And finally, let's pray for our creative arts team. They're called Arts Anonymous. And let's lift them up. Ask the Lord to reveal just creative things that they can do to communicate the gospel, to bless lives, and that people through them and the ministry would experience Christ. And so let's pray for our artists. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We pray for our community, and we ask that you hear our prayers. God, we want to abide in you and your presence and your word. We want to be led by your Spirit. And so, God, we invite you in our lives right now. We invite you here as we go forth to our workplaces. We invite you to just remind us that you are always with us. And, God, we want to walk with you wherever you go. Father, we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great morning, and we'll see you tomorrow.